Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Bill on Together in Peace. Now here is Pastor Bill.
Hey, we're on an adventure together this morning in God's Word. If you want to take your Bibles and look to Ephesians chapter 2, Pastor Joel, Missionary Joel, Prophet Joel, Apostle Joel has read some of our scripture already this morning, but we're going to come right to it in just a moment. We're having a conversation about together. Together, let's all just say it, together. Portland Christian Center, thank you, Greg, by the way, for the update. I just want to tell you that we're a very important place in the life of this church. It's very defining. And we're so grateful for the 97 years of history that this church has had. You know, if there was a Sunday, and I don't know that there will be, but there's a Sunday in the future where we can just talk about what God has done, it would sure inspire us to recognize that God is getting ready to do something marvelous again. He has done that over and over in the history of this church, and you're a part of a very significant time. Maybe someday we'll talk a little bit about the cycles of churches, because churches have life cycle. And if you don't catch them at the right time in making shifts and adjustments, a church begins to decline and we don't even know it. It happens and we don't even know it. So my neighbor behind me said, hey, there's a former Blazer moving into our neighborhood. Maybe we could pick up some basketball, have a little, you know, basketball tournament in our neighborhood in one of the cul-de-sacs. I said, are you kidding me? I can't even touch the net. I said, I will volunteer to play horse, which takes no effort whatsoever. You just move to a spot, shoot the ball, and if you miss it, you're out. So that's the way it goes. Life cycles for our bodies and our experiences change too. And Portland Christian Center, you're in a great point right now. We're all in a great point to say, Lord, what's the new chapter? What's the new time frame that you have for us? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And we're going to do this together. Everybody say together again. Together. I don't want to read the verse that's kind of the foundation of this series in Ephesians chapter 2. So hopefully you have your Bible with you or you can find it there. And I'm going to look at verse number 22 of chapter 2. And in him you two are being built together. There's that word again. To become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So what's God doing right now in your life? I pray, this is my prayer for this morning, that I won't just give us a TED talk this morning, you know what those are, or just a speech, or just a sermon, but that while we're together, that God will deposit something in your life. I just don't want to miss this morning. This is a very significant time in your life. That God will deposit something into your life and he will speak clearly to you and you will walk out of these doors saying, God spoke to me. That's what I desire for you. And I just pray with me. Father, guide my words right now. I've got lots to say, but I only have a few minutes to say them. But more importantly, it's not what I say. I want you to speak into the hearts of these, your people. And may you do it in such a way they'll never forget what you've said. Amen. Amen. Our key verse this morning is chapter 2, and we're going to go back up to verse 14. Verse 14. You won't want to miss one message out of this series. Not one. Every one of them is a little different, but it all is hitting the theme of harmony and peace and unity amongst the body of Christ. So that's really something you want to keep in mind. Mark the calendar. Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace. Can you read that aloud with me? Everyone, just let it resonate in your heart as you speak it. For he himself is our peace. One more time. For he himself is our peace. That's a very significant message. Have you ever had like a family talk if you have kids or like, okay, we're all meeting in the kitchen, we're all meeting in the family room, All right, everybody, we're going to have a family conference. Have you ever had one of those moments where you have like a family talk? If you don't do this, you should. If you have children, every once in a while, bring them all together and have a family talk. So it was something that we kind of fell into. I don't think we woke up one morning and said, okay, we're going to start doing this. But I remember Joy and I had been invited to someone's home. And the kids are all in the back seat of the car. They're very energetic, excited, etc. We're going somewhere to someone else's house to have a meal together. And so when we pulled up, I stopped the car, turned it off, and I said, we're going to have a family conversation here, a talk, a meeting. Has everybody got that? Yes, Dad. I said, okay, we're about ready to go into some people's homes who invited us as their guest. And I just want to remind you to watch your manners. Don't do anything that you shouldn't do. Be very well behaved. And by the way, remember who you belong to. You're part of the Wilson family. So don't do anything that would embarrass the Wilson family. Do you have that? We've got it, Dad. That was basically the same speech every time we went anywhere with our children to someone's home and some of your homes. We were out, you wonder, what are the Wilsons sitting out in their car for? We were having a little family conversation. That's what we were doing. And a few years later, I gave the little speech, and at the end of the speech, I heard these words, and I will never, never forget them. And I don't want you to ever forget this line, for he himself is our peace. Now, together goes a lot better when things are in harmony and unity. Peace is a very important factor in the local church. And it's a very important factor in your personal life and in your family. Have you ever just shouted out, all I want is some peace and quiet? So they said, you know, the typical construction of homes in more recent years has been to have great rooms. Big, big rooms with lots of space, and everybody can see everybody, and everybody can be together in the same room, watching television, eating meals, in the kitchen. Great rooms. Forget the living rooms, forget the dining rooms. We just have a great room. But during the pandemic, they said everybody wants to have small rooms because everybody wants to get peace and quiet. They're sick and tired of being in the same house 24/7 for week on week. In fact, people who were doing business from home said they were taking closets and turning them into spaces for their work and so on. Why? Because they wanted a little peace and quiet. Peace is very important for together, and for he himself is our peace. Now, let me give you the context of this statement so you understand. Let's go back up to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, that's the key word, who has made the two, everybody say two, one, everybody say one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, that's a very interesting line, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. Now these are significant lines, and I don't want to read through them too quickly, so I just want to pause for a moment here. So we're reading that through the blood of Jesus Christ, two became one and abolished all of the commandments and the regulations because Christ fulfilled those, and we have become children of God through the blood of Christ, the work he did on the cross. So that's what Paul's saying here. His purpose was to create in himself one new man. That's all inclusive, by the way. Don't get offended by these lines. One new man out of two, thus making peace. There's that word again. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. There's the word hostility again. So, underscore the word peace in this section of Ephesians chapter 2. Together works a lot better when we are in harmony and in peace with each other. And that's really the context of this word peace. And may I just say that peace isn't just speaking of the absence of conflict. It actually means more than that. It means wholeness, completeness. So there's more to peace than just like we don't argue with each other. But we are complete and whole together. It's a healthy relationship, and actually can describe like oil in a machine, that it requires adjustment and consideration and care. There's a lot of things that go into what Paul is saying here about peace. Then he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. That is why the evangelical Pentecostal church talks so much about the blood of Christ, because it is through his blood that we are brought together into the family of God. And it's these verses that help us understand what together really is all about. Because Paul is addressing what he calls the dividing wall of hostility. And so although there are some who would say these are physical walls, it's really a picture in my mind. It's not the wall around Jerusalem. It's not the big curtain that was in the temple that kept people like us from going into the Holy of Holies. It was the wall of divide, hostility of divide between Jewish people and Gentiles. Most of us are Gentiles here. And they did not see that the two could become one, and they couldn't become one until Jesus Christ came and gave his life. And now he's saying we are drawn together as one. This is God's intent. The hostility of racism and regulation and religion was separating the body of Christ. And Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, he's saying to us, in this very hostile racial divide in America today and in Portland, Oregon, and in your neighborhood perhaps, that the only way that we can come together is through the blood of Christ and the togetherness that he brings, and he breaks down the walls of hostility. So I don't judge people based on their color of skin or their ethnic background. I don't judge people on that. I am embracing people of all walks of life, and I am recognizing the body of Christ isn't just made up with people who look like me, it's people who are in the family of God through the blood of Christ. Does that make sense? And so the church that's going to grow in this culture today is a church that sees people through the eyes of Jesus and represents that work of the Lord. And that's where Paul says, this is why there should be peace in our togetherness. Not because of some political position I've taken, but because of the work of Christ. And he goes on to talk about that in this wonderful text that we have read this morning. And he says that, that there is the context that when we say he is our peace, he himself is our peace, that our peace is found in Christ, and that's why we can all get along. And I love the fact that Portland Christian Center is a diverse church. It should represent the community we're in. And whether we were born here in Portland, and many of you, how many were born in Portland itself? So, see, like I'm a foreigner because I was born in Walla Walla. That in itself would put you on notice that there's something different about him. Walla Walla. My wife was born in another country. She came as an immigrant from Great Britain. And talk about differences, there are. I tried to drive on the correct side of the road in Great Britain, and I found that that was the wrong side of the road. So my point is that we bring all kinds of diversity and backgrounds and everything, but when we come into the church, we are one. We are one together. In fact, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So when I grew up, everybody was referred to as brother and sister. Are you following me? So it wasn't, hey, Dave, what's going on? It was Brother Platt, how are you? In fact, I didn't come from a big church, but honestly, as a kid, first of all, my parents told us we were never to call anybody by their first name. Secondly, many times we didn't even know their first name. We just call them brother or sister. And this was, by the way, this was a very helpful thing. When you see somebody you don't know, you just say, hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, sister, nice to see you again. You think in your mind, like, what is their name? Brother, good to see you. Give me a hug. Great to see you at church. I love seeing you every Sunday, whatever your name is. And And then people like my grandmother, who had very unusual names. Her first name was Fanny. Fanny, are you with me? I don't need to go any further than just say her name was Fanny. But the rule in our family is you never call your grandmother by her first name. You got that? And at church, nobody ever called her by her first name. It was always Sister Leedy, L-E-E-D-Y. Because if you called her Fanny, you didn't get a Christmas card. I'm telling you right now. That's it. So what Paul is trying to say here is we're all brothers and sisters, and we're to live in harmony and unity because of what? Because of what Jesus has done for us, and it's by his blood that we have been welcomed into the family of God. And because of that, we are not to judge each other by race or whatever background we might have. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're united. And Paul had to address that with the church at Ephesus. It wasn't a correction necessarily. It was a challenge. And of course, as you read through all the New Testament, you'll see these conflicts that arose because some said, well, you have to do this, and others said, you have to do that. And Paul is saying, no, we're together in Christ. So here's the challenge. So in order for us to live together, we're to live together in peace. Everybody say peace. And so in order to do that, we have to be united together. I love what Paul says to the Colossians church. You might just write it down in these few minutes that we have this morning. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. See, the emphasis is the same, and it's just underscoring and reinforcing what Paul has said to the church in Ephesus. He's saying the same thing in the church of Colossia, and he's saying the same thing to all of us. The whole gospel is that we're in one body, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're to get along. We're to live together in peace. So as we go through this journey of opening up a new chapter and selecting a new pastor, to lead us into the new season, I'm committed, you're committed, we're all committed, right? To do this together in peace. We're not going to argue. We're not going to fight. We're going to remember who you represent before we go into that house. We're going to remember that we represent Jesus Christ, and we're going to do this in such a smooth way that we will become a model to others, that it doesn't have to be a time of anxiety and fear, but we can rest in the peace of God. Does that make sense? So, once a couple came into my office, in fact, I was in that office this morning, I was thinking about this. They came into my office, they were having horrible marital problems. I mean, this couple stood before God and a minister and knelt at an altar and made a lot of vows and so on. They were really at each other, and they came into the office here thinking that I could help them. Oh, Lord. So they sit down, and I know these people. And if I mentioned your name, you might know them. Some of you wouldn't have a clue, and that's probably better. But I knew these people. They were faithful. They came to everything. And then they started in at each other, and I'll tell you, it was World War III in my office, the place where God gives me messages, and I pray and read my Bible and spend time with wonderful staff pastors and deacons and other people. They're in there, and they're arguing. I mean, it's not just like a minor disagreement. This is all-out war. And I'm trying to think, now, which class did I take in Bible college that helped me with moments like this? Honestly, you know, you thought pastoring is an easy deal. I just show up and preach on Sunday, and that's the rest of the week. I just lay around and water the lawn and wash my car and take Joy to coffee. I'll tell you what, on that day, I wasn't thinking about watering my lawn or washing my car or taking Joy to the coffee. I was trying to think, how am I going to get out of this? And then in the midst of this great battle, the husband turned and looked at me, and he took his fist, I can see it as if it happened, and he banged it on the table like that, and he looked at me and he said, Pastor Bill, this is all your fault. Are you with me so far? Have you been in cases like this where all of a sudden it's your fault? And I keep thinking, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, oh Lord. I don't know that I mean, it settled down a little bit and they stayed together for a while, but it wasn't the best of days for the pastor. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace. My only peace in life isn't the pastor trying to solve all my problems. It's not even my wonderful wife, Joy, of 49 years, who is full of wisdom and a real prayer warrior and always has the right thing to say at the right time. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I don't have peace with God, I'll never have the peace of God. And certainly, I will not be able to have peace with you, nor will you be able to have peace with me. You get that? So some of you in this room, things are not going too well. You've never pounded your fist on my desk and said it was all my fault. But you know, things are unsettled in your life right now. Listen to what this says about your relationship with Jesus Christ and the peace that passes all understanding that he gives. Then listen, you are in a better position to get along with other people. You see? Even in the church. You say, Pastor Bill, are there any churches where they get like in disagreements? I'm sure there are. But I declare right now, Portland Christian Center is not one of them. This is not a church that's going to be filled with strife and arguments and battles. This is a church that's going to remember, for in him we have peace. For he himself is our peace. So this is what I learned about peace in these final minutes that I have. I'll give you just four quick words. Everybody say quick. You liar. I really mean it. I'm going to try, okay? Stick with me. I've got a lot to say. Peace comes. Here's the foundation. Peace comes. Here's the challenge. Peace comes when I accept God's pardon. Peace comes when I accept God's pardon. And what I mean by pardon is the release of my sin and accept forgiveness. I'm released. That's when peace comes. You know this to be true. You wrestle with stuff in your life that you know is sin or a misstep in your life or a mistake that's been so serious. And when you are forgiven, when Joy looks at me and says, hey, Bill, I forgive you. The load that lifts off of me, the anxiety of wrestle that I have. And when Jesus gives me forgiveness, he brings with it peace. He himself is our peace. Write this scripture down, Isaiah 55:7. This is what the prophet says in the better part of Isaiah, by the way. When you come to chapter 40, it really changes the tone. And in 55:7, it says, let the wicked forsake his way, that's you and me, and the evil man his thoughts, that's you and me. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. He will release you of the punishment, give you forgiveness, and with that comes wonderful, wonderful peace. I have a friend of mine who was an alcoholic for 40 years. He would walk into a room and the room would explode. On the outside, it looked like he was the life of the party, but on the inside, he was in total dismay. Maybe this is a parallel to your story. And he and I had one conversation. I shared a word with him that had nothing to do with his life of sin. And he got in his car, and God convicted him of his lifestyle. He surrendered his life, and for 7 years, he's been clean. And every time I see him, he smiles. And he says, for the first time in all my life, I messed up my life for 40 years, from high school all to adulthood. The peace of God rules. He said, nothing bothers me anymore because I know God's got it. Yeah. The peace of God. The second thought that came to me is peace comes when I obey God's principles. When I obey God's principles. And when you follow God's word, peace will come in the midst of the storm. He will make a grave into a garden, as we sing this morning. Write this down. Psalm 119, the songbook of the Bible, had this big song, longest chapter, if you want to put it that way, in the Bible. In verse 165, you have a hard time reading five verses a day. How about 165? Because if you don't go to 165, you miss this line, and it says, great peace have they who love your law. When you start loving God, they have a great Bible reading plan here, a PCC, get on board and follow it. When you start reading God's word and you fall into the word of God, you know what happens? Your life's at peace. Because in your moments of fear, God works. I'm thinking, you know what I'm thinking of, Joy? I'm thinking of Vicky, one of Joy's best friends. She's on a plane. They hit the worst turbulence in the Midwest that you can imagine. She's with her little son. She jumps, takes off her seatbelt. She jumps, and the plane's going all around, you know, sit still. Everybody's nervous. It's totally silent. They're hanging on. Is this the final flight? Am I on my way, to eternity? She takes off her seatbelt. She stands up because she's real short. She stands up on her seat. The flight attendants are saying, what? She yells out, do not be afraid. God is with us. Man, I'd like to have been on that flight. Why? She had learned the peace of God, and the word of God came up and said, God's in control. Have no fear. And she just wanted everybody else in the plane to know about it too. She wasn't arrested. She wasn't hauled off in handcuffs. The flight attendants didn't run down to the aisle and say, woman, get back in your seat and buckle up and shut up. No. The plane leveled out and was smooth the rest of the flight. Wow, that's the kind of faith I want. I've thought about it a few times on some of these flights where jumping up, and every time we hit turbulence, I think of Vicky. I say, oh, Lord, I don't want to do that. Do not be afraid. God is with us. Oh, man. I'll tell you, why does that people do these things? Because they walk in the word of God, and they say, hey, God's bigger than this storm. God's bigger than this mountain. God is more interested in what happens in the next day in your life than you are in your own life. God is more interested in what happens to Portland Christian Center in the next few weeks, months, and years ahead. This is his church, not yours. It's not mine, I'll tell you that. If there's my name is on the wall somewhere, take it off. It's not my church. This belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. All glory to him. The fact we're sitting here is the fact that God's word rules and reigns. So just a couple more things real quick here. Because you're wondering what happened in the back seat of our car, I'm sure. So, peace comes when I focus on his presence. When I focus on his presence. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So, life brings out all kinds of stuff. I mean, this week is another week. I've got some very heavy meetings tomorrow and Tuesday, and it's troubling. You know, it's the kind of stuff that you can really rehearse in your mind, and it gets bigger and bigger, and you know, you just think, oh, Lord, help us. But when I think in terms of in his presence is fullness of joy, in his presence is peace that passes understanding, and I get that in my spirit. You see, if everybody in this room would start living that way, just think of the attraction. I don't want to go to a church where they're battling with each other. Joy and I, before we were ever married, went to a church. We ended up becoming youth pastors there. But I could tell, I wasn't that smart, but I could tell there's trouble in this church. You could tell. You could feel it in the room. You know what I'm saying? You ever had an argument with your wife or husband? And everybody knows you haven't said one word. Your mother-in-law comes over and she's, something going on here. All right. Fortunately, my mother-in-law was always on my side, so it always worked out really well. You know, like, Bill can do nothing. Joy, you better straighten up. Come on over, Flo. Get things straightened up. I'd love to have you just have a little conversation with your daughter. So, when you walk into a church like Portland Christian Center, what do we want them to feel? What do we want the guests, that prodigal who finally says, okay, COVID's over, I'm going to come back to church. Do you want them to walk in and feel the peace of God in his presence? Certainly, we do all. That's what he's talking about here. And I was going to tell you some other stuff, but you don't need to hear it. Peace comes when I ask God for peace. when I get on my knees and I say, Lord, I need the peace of God in this business deal. I need you to come through. I need you to help us. Lord, it doesn't look good. Peace that passes all understanding. And I love these words from Philippians. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart. Pray and say, Lord, flood our souls with peace that passes all understanding. And somebody said, well, how come you're so calm about certain things? I have no idea except God. I have no idea except the Lord. Let therefore make every effort, it says in Romans 14, 19, to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. So here's a promise I'm making to you. The deacons of this church, and they're wonderful people. I've met with them several times. Some of you don't know them all. In a couple of weeks, we're going to pass out a card with all of their names, and I'm going to ask you to pray for every one of them. For in 2 weeks, we'll have a card. All of our pastoral team, they're all wonderful people. They all love Jesus, and they all love the church, and they love you because you're the church. I can assure you, these are people who are trying to seek God's face so that the transitions will be peaceful and not interrupt the flow of God. That's their desire, so that we can have mutual edification. You have a broken relationship. Well, there's more to read here, I think. You have a broken relationship this morning. I want to encourage you to pray that God will bring peace into that relationship. Yeah. Yeah. Things are not well in your life. Pray that God will give you peace. Are you worried about the next version of COVID? Pray that God will give you peace. Yeah. Are you worried about your future? Pray that God will give you peace. You may still be in the battle tomorrow. You may still be in the challenge next week, but may God give you peace. Do not be afraid. God is with us. The plane's not going down because I'm on it. And God is in control. So, all right, kids, we're about ready to go. Dad, we know the speech. And by the way, Dad, we're going to some people who have my friends live at this house, some of these people. And so, Dad, don't do anything that would embarrass us. Because you're a Wilson dad, don't say anything, don't do anything to embarrass me in front of my friends. You got that, Dad? I got it. Portland Christian Center, don't do anything that would embarrass God and his work and his mission. And so we come to the final words of Ephesians chapter 2 before we jump into a very powerful chapter 3. So powerful. And it says, for though through him we both have access to the Father. So see what he's saying? Hey, whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you grew up in Southeast or Southwest, whether you came from an affluent home or a very poor home, whether you got $1 million salary or you barely make it on minimum wage, for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today on peace. And we're going to do this together in peace, Lord. Oh yeah, we may have a few differences. We may not like Pastor Bill's shirt, or we may not like the song that we sang, but it's not our preference, but our peace is in you. Not our outward expressions, it's in you, we pray. With your heads bowed, you're here today, you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you're in turmoil right now, would you just pray this prayer with me? And those of you who are watching online, right where you are, just Just out loud, pray this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Take the turmoil and anxiety. Forgive me of my sin. Give me your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.